How do we get from a player described as the Egyptian Alan Shearer to a former Ajax winger who won a gold medal at the 96 Olympics with Nigeria?
Hello and welcome back to Wikipedia Wanderers with myself, Dave and Josh. Say hello.
Say hello.
I mean, I said say hello. You were the voice at the beginning, and also you've been a dick by doing the thing of saying the thing that I've actually told you to say rather than just saying hello. Today's not the day, Josh. Let's not mess around. We've got to be serious. At time of recording, the Africa Cup of Nations is just about to start, right? True. And the rules have come out, and they are strict. Ooh, as in terms are. Of for anyone listening in the future, we are in a COVID deep world right now, and the rules around the Africa Cup of Nations are brutal, to say the least. I think you have to field a team if you have 11 players available, and it does not matter if one of them isn't a goalkeeper.
Yeah, this part, you know, the sadistic side of me wants an outbreak to happen. everyone fine, just unable to play, and so you've got some absolutely bizarre match going on.
Mo Salah in goal. I think that's what everyone wants to see, isn't it? Egypt make the call.
I would question the Egyptian manager if you put in your best player in goal at that point and go, right, who wants to go in goal? Salah puts his hand up. No. Yes. And he's, oh God,
but
he's going
what
in goal.
If he was your best goalkeeper in training? If you tested everyone somehow, you had a metric to test everyone, you had done like an NFL, what's it called?
Combine
for goalkeeper in Egypt, just in case, and then all three goalkeepers get wiped out, and you're like, oh my God, Mo Salah tops all the charts for goalkeeping. He's even better than our first choice. But... Oh, it's Mo Salah. What do we do? In that situation, do you put him in goal?
Yeah, because if it's an absolute car crash, you've got a bad goalkeeper. Depends what the gap is between him and the second best non-goalkeeper. Just a question then. Doesn't a football manager have rankings of goalkeeper attributes for non-goalkeepers? Has anyone ever looked at that?
It does. So it does have goalkeeper ability, doesn't it, as a little number, because it averages out the stats in the background that you don't see for an outfield player.
Yeah,
I wonder if someone quickly fires up the database and it's like, oh my God, what's football manager rank Mo Salah for handling and like for one-on-ones and communication? Oh, yeah, good times. But yes, so they are pretty brutal. Actually, that's a very good segue, though, Josh, because we're going to be starting with a player that I've picked today who has been described as the Egyptian Alan Shearer. So going from the Egyptian team in the Africa Cup of Nations to Amir Zaki, I've gone with. Now, I know that you have no idea who's called him the Egyptian Alan Shearer, but...
Is it Amir Zaki's dad?
It's not. It's actually... Can I say someone worse than Amir? I don't know Amir Zaki's dad, but I don't really know this guy, so worse isn't the right sort of descriptive word I should use, but it's someone who... I would say he has had his football judgment questioned a couple of times in terms of ownership of a club.
Is it Mike Ashley?
It's not Mike Ashley. He's nicer than Mike Ashley. I think we can definitely say he's nicer than Mike Ashley. But yeah, straight off the bat on his Wikipedia page, Amir Hassan Zaki, full name, Egyptian retired professional footballer who played as a striker. Tick, tick. We know that.
I remember him.
He has played for numerous different clubs in Egypt, Russia, England, Turkey and Kuwait. We'll get onto them in a minute in the top right summary. 63 appearances and scored 30 goals for Egypt. So, very good record for Egypt. 1-2, pretty much. In his career, Zaki has been nicknamed the Bulldozer and has been likened to former England striker Alan Shearer. And because I've gone on about this so much, I'm going to go straight into the bit of the page under Wigan. Wigan Athletic Chairman Dave Whelan likened Zaki to Alan Shearer, saying, when you look at this lad and his build, he has the same confidence when he gets the ball. He just knows where the goal is. He doesn't need to look up. He has this instinct. Strikers like that have an instinct to where the goal is. You can't describe it. You can't give it to anybody. I mean, he did score 10 in 29 games, which isn't too bad, but it's not Alan Shearer levels.
I remember a lot of penalties, though.
I think it was, yeah. I think there were quite a few penalties. But, yeah, that made me laugh. And another reason he's on here, me and you love it, our friend, my friend and yours, there's a controversy section as well that we'll get onto. But, first off, Josh, Amir Zaki, what comes to your mind? What do you think when someone says Amir Zaki, Josh? Give me your thoughts.
I think of the Alan Shearer-esque striker who just... I think of someone who, fortuitously, it felt like to me, was like high in the goal-scoring charts early on in one Premier League season for Wigan.
Yeah.
and with penalties, and then it all just faded away. I imagine it was a bit of a Roberto Martinez side,
okay.
Maybe.
No. It's not.
Steve Bruce.
Steve Bruce, yeah.
Steve Bruce, okay. And then just faded from existence. But he did come back to the Premier League, didn't he? Came back with Hull?
He won the next season, I think it was, straight to Hull, I think. Maybe next, like 6 months after finishing at Wigan.
Oh, okay.
But I remember, my instinct is, because he came in and I think he scored quite a number of goals quickly. And yes. I thought, who the hell is this guy and where's he come from? Probably immediately put him in my fantasy football team and then immediately regretted it. Probably is what happened. But yeah, so top right summary. Now 38, so older than us, which is always a bonus, as we say. He'll forever be older than us, which is wonderful. Taller than Christian Daly at 1.85 metres. Good for him. El Mansour started his youth career there, went on to progress to their senior team. 20 appearances, 20 goals. Clearly has an instinct.
Instinctively, I'm thinking typo. I'm thinking that's very good. But so then he signed by, I'll let you do the business there.
ENPPI. I mean, is he making a claim to get his PPI back?
Yeah.
But then he moves to Lokomotiv Moscow, where he doesn't play and is immediately loaned back to Egypt to go and play for Zamalek, which is a team I do recognise. In the name, I think there's quite a good few people that played for them in Champ Manager 102 played for Zamalek. Ibrahim Issaid comes to mind. 35 goals in 88 appearances, then gets his loan move to Wigan, 10 goals in 29, then gets a loan move to Hull that lasts from 2010 to 2010.
That's a nice one. So it must have been a January transfer.
Oh yeah, that's it, yeah.
And till the end of the season, so it must have been a half season, and yeah, that was not successful. Zero goals.
That pretty much sums his up career from that. 0-6 for Hull. 0-8 for Elazığspor, where he's also there from 2012 to 2012. Then he moves back to ENPPI. 0 appearances, 0 goals. Then he moves to Al Salamiya. 9 appearances, 2 goals. Raja Casablanca, 2 appearances, 1 goal. Al Haid, 0-0. El Makawaloon, 0-0. Retires, 94 goals in 224 appearances. But all in that time, actually has a very good strike rate for Egypt with 30 and 63. So, yeah, I don't really know what to make of him from those stats.
No, I mean, because it peters off at quite a young age. So,
yeah,
when he 2010, when it didn't go well, because obviously Wigan, we're talking Wigan's a success.
Yeah, I think Wigan, you can count that as a success for Wigan, yeah.
So 2010, he would have been 27 at that point. And then after that, he makes, in league appearances, makes like 20 appearances, scoring a handful of goals, which is a bit odd. But so just quickly, when you said about Egypt, good goal scoring record, we've got his list of international goals here. Immediately jumps out at me, and you know it will be, but are there any goals against non-African sides? So we've got Qatar, Sweden. But yeah, he's doing most of his business in AFCON. So 2008 AFCON, he's got 3 goals, World Cup qualifiers. Is there any World Cups?
No, but there is the 2005 LG Cup where he scored against Uganda, whatever that is. But yeah, I mean, I did say as well, we had a bit of a controversy around him.
Yeah, yeah, hit me with that. What's going on? Because I don't think back and think, I can't remember anything going on, but...
Well, apparently it was announced in a press conference that he was going to get fined. So I'm going to give you two pieces here. Steve Bruce is who he played for, right? And after Dave Whelan had likened him to Alan Shearer, rightly or wrongly, we'll never know because they didn't play in the same team at the same time. And we never know. Amizaki may have had the goal scoring record of Alan Shearer if he had played for Newcastle at that time. Who knows?
Yeah. More than one variable. Yeah.
Former Wigan manager Steve Bruce was also highly impressed with Zaki. He told the press he believes he is, as a quote, awesome. I can't imagine Steve Bruce using the word awesome, but there you go.
No.
Bruce said he put in a fantastic performance. If he keeps playing like this, he's going to have a real future in the Premier League. His physique is great. He has awesome power and pace. And of course, he wants to score goals, which is the important thing. Right under that sentence, that quote from Steve Bruce is controversy. In April 2009, Zaki failed to return to Wigan Athletic for one of Egypt's World Cup qualifier matches. It led his club manager, Steve Bruce, to label him as the most unprofessional player he has ever worked with. His late return from international duty led to Bruce publicly branding Zaki highly unprofessional, fining him the maximum amount permitted, which he had done on more than one occasion. Steve Bruce subsequently said, before this latest incident, Zaki has already been fined considerably more than the average person in Britain earns in a year. He will now face a very heavy fine. So you go from one quote of Steve Bruce saying how bloody amazing he is, to Steve Bruce coming out and saying he's so unprofessional that he's been fined more than what a high earner in the UK would earn in a year.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It's pretty... But it didn't... I mean, internationally is where it seems to be at now. Because you look at his honours, you go, we've got Egypt Cup wins... two Egypt Cup wins, two different sides of Zamalek and EMPPI, but then he's actually won the AFCON twice. 2006, 2008, it seems.
Well, Egypt have won it the most. They are the most record holders of AFCON wins, so...
Oh, are they? They're top dogs, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, and an individual nominated for the 2008 African Football of the Year and named in the, I guess that's Confederation of African Football, starting 11 for the African Cup of Nations in Ghana 2008. So yeah, Egypt seems to be where he's done his stuff. He's a practicing Muslim. Even he's got not very nice things to say about Steve Bruce in his personal life as well. Manager Steve Bruce said to me that he understands my fast, but he can't let me play while I'm fasting due to health issues. He told me I have to choose. I chose fasting, but I played several matches without telling him that I was fasting anyway, and I kept playing without any problems.
Like, it's not an issue now. Like, players now, when sun falls out, they'll have like an energy shot or something like that, won't they?
Yeah, so yeah.
There's a lot more beef between Zaki and Steve Bruce than I was anticipating this page. Like, infinitely more. Didn't know it was going to be a thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I didn't expect to see that when I was reading through his page. I expected to see quite a lot of information about Egypt, and there isn't actually that many. And I did not expect him to be called or to be likened to Alan Shearer. So, yeah.
No. Okay, so that's a summary of Zaki. What have we got? Where have you seen, you know, clickable links where you're thinking, I wouldn't mind? Because this is our starting off point.
Yeah.
We'll get on to who I'm going to speak to. But is there anything that's initially jumping out at you thinking, I'd love to move from that point?
I think... I'm quite interested to know what the 2005 LG Cup is, because it's only mentioned once and I've never heard of it in my life. I've got a feeling it's going to be like the sort of what we now have as the Audi Cup, isn't it? Where it's a sponsored cup that happens in different locations around the world or something, and they invite national teams rather than international teams rather than club teams. I'm happy to go and look at the Egyptian national team. I'm happy to go and look at Zamalek. We've got loads of clicks around here. Hull City, Wigan, Josie Altidore's mentioned, Bob Bradley.
I've got two links that I really want to intrigued by. I'm not going to click on them, but in the return to Zamalek section, there are two links there which are fantastic. So one is after Portsmouth signed an Israeli player and also hired an Israeli football director, that phrase, Israeli football director, is a clickable link.
I mean, that's got to be Avram Grant, hasn't it?
You'd have thought so, but you thought that you don't normally have that as a job title.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then on the final line of that same section, during his time at El Zamalek, he struggled with injuries, sickness, and goal-scoring ducks. And the word ducks is a clickable link, which I presume is going to be to a duck.
That's yeah, I mean, it's got to be, isn't it? That's got to be another airfield scenario.
Yeah, unless there's a page on like a sporting terminology and ducks being zero.
Right, well, I'm definitely ruling out ducks because that's too much of a risk to go down for ducks.
Yeah, that might not give us as much football content as we're after.
Israeli football director, I can only think of Avram Grant because it's Portsmouth, he's Israeli, yeah, and he was a football director. So I'm not, yeah. I could definitely go down there, but I guess, Josh, people have got to know where we've got to get to first, and then we'll make a decision.
All right. So the end point is none other than, I'm not sure how many people have heard of his name, but Tijani Babangida. Now, this is an African Cup of Nations kind of themed episode, but this name actually comes from my love of football games, and it was from ISS Pro Evolution Soccer 2. And Babangida was a player in that game, and he had 19 for pace, and at that point, 19 was the highest points. Rather than thinking, like, wow, 19 out of 100, whoa. Yeah.
I still can't believe it's not even 19 out of 20. It's just 19 out of 19.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
FIFA doesn't go up to 100, though, does it? It goes up to 99, doesn't it?
That's very true. Ah, but the lowest you can have is zero, so technically there's 100 points.
You can have zero?
I think you can have a zero on FIFA, yeah.
Well, that's just brutal if anyone gives anyone zero. Like, sure, that means, like, you cannot do it.
That's true. Pace zero means they just wouldn't move.
Yeah.
No, it must be one. Yeah, it must be one.
Yeah. And so he was in the game, and there was a Master League, and everyone played pro games. Master League, he was a bargain, 19 pace. Him and a Cameroonian forward called Augustine Simo were two of the bargain buys. And so I've ever been fascinated with this guy, and I've never really delved into... I've known him as by name, but not really much more than that. So let's have a little look in. First things first, he's got a good top section, which I will cover, but I've initially seen an issue. Personal life is the first main section.
We don't like that.
Don't like it. It's not wrong. It's just not within convention with how the pages work. So I won't talk about that first, but even though it's the first section, move it down. But much like Amezaki being compared to, you know, Alan Shearer, we have straight away Tijani Babangida compared to Mark Overmars. He was known for his pace. His playing style was sometimes, I mean, not all the time, compared to that of Mark Overmars. And Mark Overmars is a player who doesn't get enough mention.
I feel like Mark Overmars is... But... Yeah, I feel like he's just loved by Ajax and Arsenal. And no one really... No one else really worries about him. Like, Barcelona fans, I don't really feel like they've got an opinion on him, even though he played there. I don't think Premier League fans, other than Arsenal fans, really... Overmars was a good player, but he was in that era of Henri, Bergkamp, Vieira, and these other players that took precedent over him at Arsenal, I would say.
I'd say if you look back, he probably didn't spend that long at Arsenal. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a couple of seasons. And you look back and he's electric. I think everybody would go, oh, he's fantastic pace. But maybe not long enough at a club to create legendary status. But we're here to talk about Babangida. So Babangida... overall played in 5 countries across 3 continents, and he was mainly in Holland. So it's all his early career was in Holland, Roda JC, Venlo, Ajax, Vitesse. And is at Ajax, he actually won the Eredivisie and the Cup double in his second season there.
Nice.
And is a Nigerian, as I mentioned in the front. He is a Nigerian winger. 36 experiences, 5 goals. So not loads, but you'll find out why a bit later on, because there's a player in his way. But he was born into a football family. I don't know if you know, there's a couple of other Babangidas. There's Haruna. Yeah, Haruna was one where, yeah, it was like a real kind of, I think they thought a lot was going to come from him. He was at Barcelona at a really young age, and it says here that he was the second youngest player to appear for FC Barcelona when he made his debut at age 15.
Wow.
His brother, Haruna, that is. So we have Babangida was in the Niger. I read this as tomatoes every time I see it, but he's in the Niger Tornadoes youth side, but then was, this is a click, if only this is a clickable link, well it is, but it's the wrong way. He was in the 1991 All Africa Games.
Wow.
Which is a tournament I'm not aware of. I'm not sure how we get to that, but... Yeah, so that's where he was kind of spotted, and Roda JC picked him up, but immediately loaned him out to Venlo, where we've seen Lee Catmull join in recent years, actually.
Yep.
And he had a couple of seasons there. First season in the Eredivisie, they got relegated. Second season, stayed with them and got them promoted, scoring 16 goals. And at that point, I think maybe Roda thought he had matured enough, and then he played for them for a few seasons. Then we have Mr. Louis van Gaal sniffing around, as Ajax had just sold Vinny George to Real Betis. They needed a winger to replace him, and so they picked Babangida. Babangida had a good first season, appeared in Europe. Second season, Ajax won the league with a 39-point gap over PSV. Just let that sink in. And he was the third top scorer that season, behind some classic names here. Shot at Avalanche and Yari Littman.
Lovely. So yeah.
That's lovely. Third season, it starts to unravel a bit. He actually has malaria at the start of the season. That's kind of, then was the kind of the start of the end for him. He ended up losing his place, and the fourth season, he gets more, even more a bit more player. So then he's then on the move after this, but he's still owned by Ajax. It's a lot of loan moves. We have moved to Turkey, didn't work out. He then, Ronald Koeman is then the manager of Vitesse. It seems like Ronald Koeman's too young for this, but Ronald Koeman's manager of Vitesse and brings him in, and he plays well, but Koeman then gets a call from Ajax and becomes Ajax manager, and therefore Babangida falls out of favour. We then have a stint in Saudi Arabia with, I mean, I've said some classic names for Ajax. We were at Al Ittihad in Saudi Arabia, we have Bebeto and Titi Camara, which is just joyous. But he walked out on the team, kicked screams for the manager, goes back to Ajax, still obviously his parent club, but then terminates his contract. So he's now free to go wherever he wants. And seemingly, he wants to go to China. Now, this is where the page doesn't quite make sense. So I'll read it in a verbatim. As a free agent, Babangida underwent a successful trial at Chinese size Tianjin Teda in the summer of 2003. The move, however, was put off due to the outbreak of SARS in China, and Babangida signed with second-tier side Changchun Yatai shortly after. I mean, he still went to China.
Yeah, that was strange.
There must be a bit of time that has passed in that point where he's become more comfortable with the thought of going to China.
Yeah, yeah.
But they, he wins his second division in China, and then he earns a recall to the Cup of Nations, to the Nigeria side for the Cup of Nations. So we go and go to his international career. This is where the name we had mentioned earlier, where he got his chance at Ajax, Vinicius George, is actually the reason he didn't get as much prominence on the international stage. He was there, he was taking that right wing slot. Babangida didn't get a chance. But because of the rulings around the Olympics, is where he did get his chance, because of, you know, only a certain amount of people over the age of 23.
Yeah.
Babangida was there at the Olympics in 96, and this is where we have more name drops on this wiki page. They go on to mention Argentinian and Brazilian sides and the players that he would have come up against. So we mentioned we have Dida, Roberto Carlos, Bebeto, Ronaldo, Rivaldo, Hernan Crespo, Claudio Lopez, Ariel Ortega, Diego Simeone, among others. So just really name-dropping. Maybe this is Babangida going, hey, I've played against some good sides. Funny that he would have played against Bebeto and then later played with him.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
So he's played in the Olympics and won it. He played in the AFCON. He played in the World Cup, so 98 World Cup. The AFCON was actually a funny one, because I didn't realise this, but he only made his debut in the African Nations in 2000, because in the 96 one in South Africa, Nigeria weren't there for political reasons. And in 98 AFCON, Nigeria says through disqualification, Nigeria. I don't know if that was because, you know, they had withdrawn from a previous one for political reasons, and therefore it was a bit of, you know, slapping the wrist for the next one. Don't know why. But then he does eventually make his debut in 2000, scoring a couple of spectacular goals. Featured in the 2002 World Cup finals. Is that Japan, South Korea, 2002?
Yeah.
Yeah, plays out there. And then doesn't actually... Eventually, phased out of the Nigeria side when they seemed to want to get rid of experienced players like Sunday Oliseh and Billy George. So his time was drawn to end. So his final was the AFCON in 2002 with his final international appearances. So overall, we have in league appearances, 249 appearances, 76 goals. As I said earlier, 36 appearances, 5 goals. And we have only 3 different countries he's scored against in his international career, none of which England and none of which Northern Ireland.
Yeah, but Denmark is an interesting one there in the 98 World Cup.
Yeah.
Getting a goal against that. Denmark, that's, yeah, quite interesting to see. I spotted an error.
I was about to talk about honours, and we've just mentioned he won the second tier Chinese league, and he mentioned
not in there. Get that noted down, lad. Get that noted down. We've got to make the changes. If you see it, change it. That's the rule of the errors. I mean, yeah, I my memory of Babangida is, I think, Champ Manager 0102 at Ajax. You could pick him up quite cheap. He was really quick. It was, you basically put him up front. I think you did the thing of getting him to mark the goalkeeper. Remember that little ploy on Tomando 102?
Yeah,
I think he was someone you could do that with, and because of his pace, it just meant he basically sat on the last defender and outpaced them and scored.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like, as soon as he could be on the goalkeeper, he would be, wouldn't he?
Yeah. So, as you'd imagine, for a winger, smaller than Christian Daly by quite some margin, 1.69 metres tall. What do you think of the ways in to Babangida? How do we finish on a Babangida?
So we've obviously got options with his brothers as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think if we find one Babangida, we find them all.
Yeah.
Like a Pokemon.
collect them all. Yeah.
Yeah. I say squads. So we've got 98 World Cup squad, and we'll have 1996 Olympic squads. But I'm not sure if there's I don't know, the Olympic squad's a bit of a funny one. I've not really been on Olympics pages before.
No, I've not really looked at that. I mean, he might get a mention on Bebeto's page. You never know. He mentions him twice, so he might get a mention on Bebeto.
He's name dropped some people. I'm not sure. I'm his clubs that would mention him.
You've got the you can click on an AFCON. I know we've only used one, haven't we? We've used an African Cup of Nations before, but as long as you don't use that one again. So that he made the national team for the preparations for the 2004 African Cup of Nations. I don't really fancy going back to China and trying to find the right club
I'm
again.
I'm trying to look at his sides there. Who would have a mention? Ajax isn't going to get mentioned. They've got far too many players there.
I mean, he might come under a sort of well-known, famous player for Roda because his goal scoring isn't too bad and he played 78 games for him.
Maybe. But I'd say internationally is probably where it's at.
Yeah.
Squads is where it's been. So, okay, let's flip back to Zaki then. We've got no crossover in clubs. So there's no real direct link here.
No, I think my opinion with Zaki is we go somewhere educational and see where it takes us. I don't think there's any easy way out that we can also learn something. I think it's all just going to be what do we want to know about. So.
And looking at his international goals, Zaki's first goal is after Babangida stopped playing, so it's not like they would have not been on the same pitch. So we have to work this a little bit. So let's educate ourselves. I'm almost certain you want to click on the LG Cup.
I do, but I think if I think about it in my head, the only thing I can compare it to is something like the Audi Cup, and I think it would be useless. I think it's going to be an Audi Cup for international teams, which is not going to help us at all. I think I might veto it.
Really?
Yeah, I think I might go and learn. I think I fancy learning about someone like Zamalek, the Egyptian club, because I know of them. I've known them through Football Manager, Championship Manager, but I have no idea who else has played for them. I have no idea if they still exist. I have no idea what's going on. So, if you don't mind, Josh, I think we'll go in the top right summary. We'll just click on Zamalek. 88 appearances, 35 goals. It's the club he scored the most goals for. Most appearances, most goals. Let's go and have a look.
Right.
So Zamalek Sporting Club, commonly referred to as Zamalek. I'm probably butchering that as well, by the way. Based in Cairo, mainly known for its professional football team. So they actually have, it must be one of those, a big sporting club that has lots. Nicknames, Josh, here we go.
Yes, I have just spotted this. It is the biggest nickname section I've ever seen, and I've only seen the last one, and it's brilliant, but go from all day.
I'm going to go top to bottom, and I'm not going to even attempt to do the Arabic versions of them. So. Don't. Their nicknames are the School of Art and Engineering, which is an amazing start.
Right, that might not be the football club, but
The White Knights, the White Castle, the Royal Club, the Patriotism and Dignity Club, and the Real Club of the Century, which is absolutely amazing. Incredible.
I feel like the Patriotism and Dignity Club is maybe a nickname given after something went really, really wrong. And they had to really try and rebrand or something real controversy. Like, no, I think you've been fine. We're known as the Patriotism and Dignity Club. It couldn't be the case.
Yeah. Founded originally as the Kazir El Nile Club. So they're founded near the Nile. They are based in Cairo. That's an incredible amount of nicknames and some incredible nicknames as well. I think the School of Art and Engineering has got me sold being an engineer. I feel like I should support them. I don't know if any other club calls themselves anything to do with engineering. So I love that.
Established by a Belgian lawyer on Christmas Day in 1910. He realised that the guest house hosting the celebration of Nile Banks was as a sports club headquarters. this is different, isn't it? I don't know. Because often you have clubs which don't have that long a history. But this is quite an old club.
And here you go, Josh. It's one of two clubs that have played every season in the Egyptian Premier League and one of seven clubs that have never been relegated to the Egyptian Second Division. So there's obviously clubs that have been in there and folded and then everyone else has got relegated other than them. And who's the other big team in? It'll probably be there. Al-Halil? Is that? I think, no. Which is the Egyptian? There's another Egyptian team that's famous, but I can't remember. But they won last year as champions. They won the league last year. So we've clicked on a cracking team recently. I mean, what else have you been looking at the moment? What have you gone to?
Well, I'm intrigued by this section. First League Championship and the start of local glittering.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure what it means.
I mean, I will just say it is a massive page. It is a absolutely monstrous page. Have you learned any more about glittering just while I'm scrolling down?
I'm pretty sure it just means that they've won the glittering of trophies and the fact they're winning lots because they won the league 5 times from that point onwards in the 60s and 70s and 80s. So I think that's what it means, is that they start winning a lot. So what about currently? So, okay, so we got, you know, kit suppliers and shirt sponsors, started off with Deodorum in the late 90s.
I do like the little section below that, kit evolution.
It's nice. I feel like with those kits, I think people have had to make them like on Paint.
Yeah, there must be a template you can download and then you make them on Paint or something.
They've tried different things, haven't they? They've had the sash, they've really stuck with the stripes across now, but there's been a few different versions. I don't mind the kit.
I've got to ask you, Josh. We've got all those kits from the classic, which I don't even know what that is, to 1984 to 2020 and present day. Judging by those Paint-esque templates, what's your favourite? Which one are you buying?
Which one am I buying? I'm drawn to the one with Philips on, the 97 to 98 one, to be honest.
Mine would probably have been that or the one or the 96, 97. I quite like the things coming in from the side.
That is very mid-90s, that is. I'd like to see the goalkeeper's kit back because I feel like it would actually be quite vibrant.
Yeah. Something we obviously like to look at, current squad. Let's see if there's anyone out there that we recognise. As you'd imagine, a lot of Egyptians who I have no idea who they are. One Cote d'Ivoire, one Moroccan, one Tunisian, two Moroccans, sorry. Two Tunisians, two Moroccans, and one Ivory Coast. I recognise... Oh, Youssef Ibrahim, I recognise. Number 14 in midfield. I recognise that name.
I do not recognise anyone.
Oh, what?
Anyone out there?
I do want to know if number 19, Omar El Said, is related to the famous El Said from Champ Manager 0102, who was had 20s all over the shop. He was brilliant.
Right, I'm not letting you clip on him.
Okay.
notable players. Who do we have there? We have Junior Agogo.
Yeah, nice. Rami Shaban. Ex-Arsenal keeper for a while, yes. Rami Shaban, yeah. I think, yeah.
Is that as good as it's getting, seriously?
Emmanuel Amunike used to play in the Premier League as well, didn't he?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, when in terms of Egyptians, yeah, we've got Zaki, we've got Mido. Current staff, no, we've got Patrice Carteron. A nice picture of him on the right as well. Dave, where do we go from here?
Hang on. Mido gives you an into Ajax.
It does give you an into Ajax, where we didn't really think there would be any chance of Babangida being mentioned. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I don't really know. Oh, Emmanuel Amunike gives you a link into Nigeria.
That's very true. Yeah, actually, I think that's got to be it, actually. You've questioned whether they played in the Premier League or English football.
Yeah.
It's either that or Rami Shaban is where I'm thinking.
I mean, I'd love to go and learn a bit more about Rami Shaban, but the only reason I said Emmanuel Amunike is because I was scrolling up the page to try and get back to the top and turn to talk to you, and then I stopped on the bit that said, award winners, the following players have won the African Football of the Year whilst playing for Zamalek, Emmanuel Amunike, 1994. So I feel like it was a sign.
He's won the African Football of the Year?
Well, yeah, and he was playing for Zamalek at the time, yeah.
Well, guess where we're going, Dave.
Okay.
Emmanuel Amunike. Winger, who knew? former player and manager. So we've got a little bit of a section here. So it starts off at Zamalek, his senior career. Although Nigerian, starts off at Zamalek. Then we go to Portugal Sporting. Then we're going to Barcelona. Albacete still in Spain?
Yeah.
Then I'm not quite sure where we are, so we can see it in his... Playing career is a very small section, actually, because, I mean, the first line of his playing career section is, he played for Zamalek Sporting, Barcelona and Albacete. Well, that's it. And then we have mentioning around his international record and winning player of the year, but we don't know where Busan I Park or...
Korea. Busan I Park is Korea, but...
Al Wadat?
I'll guess Middle East.
Nigeria, that's amazing. Like, he's won... African player of the year, but for Nigeria, he's got less appearances than Babangida, actually. 27 appearances, yeah, 9 goals.
That's true.
Teams managed is a real section here. We've got Riosin, we've got Al Hazm, Julius Berger, Ocean Boys. Nigeria under-17s, Al Khartoum, Tanzania, and Misir Lay Makassa.
Where he is currently an academy supervisor, according to current team information. Wow. He did not play in the Premier League. I must have been...
He definitely...
I must remember him from Barcelona, and again, Champ Manager 0102 or something like that, or an early Champ Manager. Because the name really caught my eye. Ugh.
Okay, so as a player, he won the league... Taca de Portugal, or was that cup with Sporting, cup with Barcelona, he must have been played a key role in the 1994 AFCON win, is what I'm imagining.
Yeah.
To win the African Football of the Year in 1994. Oh, hello, I didn't read this in his playing career. Additionally, Amunike played all the games at the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta, scoring the winning goal in the final as the national team won the gold medal. There we go, David Nichols. That is obviously where we're clicking.
Yes, come on. I never get a fluky click like you do. You always get the fluky recommendations.
So we've got options where to click, though, okay? So we've got 1996 Summer Olympics in the playing career. We've got Olympic Games in the honours and achievements. Or we've got 1996 in the honours. And they could all be three different pages. They could all be three of the same pages. But we have a rule here of no hovering. So we actually don't know what we're going to click on. Now, first thoughts are, in playing career, 1996 Summer Olympics. That doesn't, to me, reek of being football specific.
No, that reeks of the whole Olympic Games in 1996.
Yep. And therefore, the Olympic Games mention, I feel it's going to be exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
The 1996 then might be specific, because that's normally where you click on it, it's like the season specific thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's where we go. Yeah. I'm just really annoyed right now that scoring the winning goal in the final, and the final isn't a hyperlink to the final of the Olympic Games.
Oh, that is... But
now, that makes me think they don't have an individual page for the final like a lot of the other club competitions do.
True, but we are also not assured of the fact that Babangida played in that final.
We're not, you're right. Because everyone in the squad would get a winner's medal, wouldn't they? And say they won it, whether they play or not in the final. The whole squad gets it.
Okay, right. So we have got... we're going to go for... On Emmanuel Amunike, we're going to go for the 1996 section of the honours and achievements. Yes?
Yeah. Nigeria, Olympic Games, click on 1996. Here we go.
Oh, it's loading. Oh, football at the 1996 Summer Olympic Men's Tournament. Champions, Nigeria, their first title. Runners-up, Argentina. Third place, Brazil. Fourth place, Portugal. 32 matches played. 90 goals scored with top scorers. 6 goals each, Bebeto and Hernan Crespo. So it's pretty... I mean, we've already heard on Babangida's page of the level of class involved. So
they're
playing at 5 venues in the US. So we've got the Citrus Bowl in Orlando, Legion Field in Birmingham, Orange Bowl. It doesn't feel like I'm reading stadiums, if I'm honest. Orange Bowl in Miami, the Robert F. Kennedy Stadium in Washington, and the Sanford Stadium in Athens. Which has just confused me a little bit.
Yeah, you can tell by the silence there that confused both of us when you said in Athens.
I presume there's an Athens in America.
It must be, yes. I very much enjoy the fact that goals scored is 92.81 per match. That's...
Just in case you're wondering.
That's entertaining football, I would say, for an international competition. That's very good. I mean, surely we've got to go straight away to see if Babangida's mentioned anywhere in the final.
Yes, I'm just looking through. Didn't he score goals? So we've got... I thought we heard that Babangida scored some goals.
Well, on Babangida's page, which we obviously are allowed to refer back to, it literally just says he played an important role in the team's Olympic triumph in Atlanta in 96.
No. And I'm looking here, and I can't see any... Oh, hold on, this is good. This is fun, Dave, but yes, this is it. So look at the gold medal match.
Hang on, yeah.
And there's a section hidden... Said team details. Click show.
Oh, you lucky git. Yeah. Nice. Well, we're both show, lucky.
Brings up the 11 and the subs who came on in that match. And so we can see there. So let's just get a quick recap of how the team's route to the final. So we have Nigeria beating Mexico in the quarterfinals and beating Brazil in the semifinals and then getting to the final to beat Argentina. So let's have a look. So
quick question.
Yeah,
quick
Brazil 4-3. Wow.
Yeah, quick question. That 4-3, why is it in brackets ASDET, not just ET? I assume that means as decided in extra time.
Well, if you look at that, you can see at the 94th minute, Kanu goal, that looked gold to me.
The golden goal.
Golden goal was in play here. So 4-3, Roberto Carlos scoring an own goal. And Pusic, maybe, was it? And then Kanu getting a couple. And then Flavio Conceição got a couple. And Bebeto got one. 4-3 to Nigeria. Flavio Conceição amongst the goals in those knockout stages. JJ Cotter and Celestine Babiara getting the goals in the quarterfinal. Then for Argentina, they beat Spain 4-0. Hernan Crespo double, Aranzabal and Claudio Lopez in the semis. Hernan Crespo again, a couple of goals to beat Portugal. And so we have the final. Dave, do you want to talk through the Argentina side in the final?
Yeah, yeah. So goalkeeper, Pablo Cavallero, someone I'm not too familiar with. I'm not too sure about him. Javier is an outstanding team, really.
He's a fantastic
Javier player. Zanetti, Roberto Ayala, and Roberto Sensini as three centre-backs-ish. Zanetti would be a very attacking centre-back in that. Jose Chamo, again, probably the only midfielder I don't really recognise in midfield.
I've got a feeling he was more of a left-sided player, so I'm feeling maybe it was potentially a bit of a four as well, Zanetti and Chamot, okay. But I might be wrong.
Yeah, Christian Bacidas in midfield with Almeida.
Former Newcastle player?
Yeah, I want to say he was the Newcastle player. Mateus Almeida in there with Ariel Ortega, one of our favourites, I would say. Ariel Ortega.
Definitely.
I'd say most people from our era have got a love of Ariel Ortega. Hugo Morales finishes off the midfield, and then Claudio Lopez and Hernan Crespo up front. And Diego Simeone came off the bench to replace Hugo Morales. That's one hell of a team.
Yeah, it is. And Argentina legend Daniel Passarella managing the side. So let's have a look at this Nigeria side. I think there's probably going to be a few names we're not familiar with, but we've got Adosu Joseph in goal, Moby Oparaku, and Taribo West, Uche. I've given myself the hardest one here.
You have. You really have, yeah.
I apologise. Uche, okay, Chukwu in defence. So again, another three-man defence there. Celestine Babiaro, JJ Kocha, Victor Paver, and Sunday Olise in midfield. And a front three of Tijani Babangida, Nwankwo Kanu, and Daniel Amakachi. They used all three subs with Gabriel Lawal, Wilson Aruma, and Emmanuel Amunuke, who came on and scored a 90th minute winner.
Something that's really just caught my eye about this is that when they make their changes, they make their first change on the 59th minute and they take off JJ Okocha, right? They're 2-1 down at that point. Looking back about what we know and how we feel about JJ Okocha, so good they named him twice, you think that would be crazy, wouldn't it, in that Nigeria team to take him off?
Got to be quite a young JJ Okocha at that point, do you not think?
Well, even so. I'd say that's PSG, JJ Okocha.
You're doubting Gabriel Lawal there. He might have been a difference maker. He might have a couple of assists to his name.
True. Very true. Yeah, very true.
Now, I'm also thinking that Emmanuel Amunike has got the African Player of the Year award. Is purely for scoring a last-minute winner?
It could be for scoring a 90th-minute winner against Argentina in the final. Yes, it definitely could be. I don't think he was... There you go, you've got goal scorers listed below. So you've got 6 is Crespo and Bebeto, 5 is Ronaldo, who doesn't get mentioned on Babangida's page. Oh, he does. He did get Ronaldo. Rivaldo were mentioned, sorry. Nwankwo Kanu outscored him with 3. Babiaro Okocha both got 2. He literally scored 1 goal and it was in the 90th minute of the final.
That's like Eder getting the Ballon d'Or for scoring the last-minute Portugal goal.
Yeah, European Footballer of the Year for scoring the last-minute goal in the Euro final.
I mean, there's some fantastic names in this. In terms of the one goals, where you get more, you get Juninho, we've got Anton Sibierski and Robert Pires, Sylvain Legwinski, all played in the Premier League. We've got Mark Viduka. We've already mentioned Diego Simeone.
Claudio Reyna, whose son now plays at Dortmund.
Yeah, former Man City player Claudio Reyna. Does that mean that so that's funny, isn't it? Claudio Reyna and Erling Haaland, or sorry, Claudio Reyna and Alf Inge Haaland, both played for Man City, yeah. And their both sons are somewhat prodigies at Dortmund.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
Man City playing the long game.
Yeah, 100%. Ariel Tagle we've mentioned. I'm trying to think, is Afonso Martins. Do you remember? I recognise the name.
I thought you were, and I thought I did, but I feel like it may be another Emmanuel Emenike situation.
Oh, okay. All right.
I tell you, I don't recognise. 3 goals for France. The top scorer of France, bearing in mind we've mentioned 3 players we do know, Florian Maurice scoring 3 goals for France.
Yeah, don't really remember. 4
goals for Italy, Marco Branca.
Yeah, don't. I was just about to mention that. Don't remember him at all. Yeah. I mean, there are some big names in that when you look at it.
Yeah, and I wonder if you can look back at other Olympics with such high names, high calibre. It's a shame that Team GB don't take it seriously, isn't it?
I was going to ask you a question of the ilk, really. If England were allowed to enter the Olympics, so it wasn't Team GB, it was England, do you think we would have won an Olympics with an under-23 squad and 3 over 23s, whatever it is? Or do you think it always would have been taken with a bit of a...
I think it's just never taken... It's not similar, but I imagine it's like how we treat Eurovision. And we don't treat it seriously, therefore we just get our asses handed to us.
But do you not think it would be a really good... Because the only reason I think England might take it seriously and may have had a chance of winning it is because that gap between under-21s and senior team, we've got a lot of people in that age group. Like right now, obviously, I'm talking right now. You've got your Bellinghams, who could definitely play every game for the under-23s, but not necessarily every game for the senior team. Sancho's, you've got, you know, bring in Harry Kane as one of your over-23s, bring in a goalkeeper, bring in a centre-back, and that's your core. And then you've surely got enough under-23s to build around
that. You've got all the right-backs in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got all the right-backs. Like, I think it would be decent.
I'd happily see it. And, I mean, an Olympic gold medal is a massive thing.
Yeah, it is. I agree, yeah. And also, let Southgate take charge of it, because then he can implement the tactics for the senior team and see who fits it.
Do you think? I think that's when you get in a dangerous territory there.
Oh, yeah, you probably are. But, I mean, for continuity, it would be wonderful.
Do other sides do that?
What?
Have the national team manager manage the Olympics?
No, I don't think you... I don't know of anyone that has. I don't know too much about it, but...
Yeah, no. I'm wondering if Daniel Passarella was the Argentina manager at the time.
I'm not sure, actually. So, but yeah, anyway, we can... Unless there's anything else you want to know about the 1996...
No, let's click through to Tijani Babangida.
Yeah, let's go for it. And while we're clicking through, the final was refereed by Pierluigi Collina? I can never say his first name.
Pierluigi Collina,
that's it. What a referee he was, just while we're...
Yeah, recently announced as like the greatest referee of all time, and he was just a formidable... man on the pitch, wasn't he? It was very much like an equal. It was rather than, I think, sometimes referees are seen as lesser and, you know, footballers are the real people on the pitch. He was actually just like as intimidating or as powerful as the players.
Would football be in terms of players' attitude if you could clone Pierluigi Collina? Literally,
you really don't.
I really can't say his name. And when
Pierluigi Collina.
Cool. Baldy. If they could have cloned Baldy, right, to a million times over and got him doing every single game in the world, how good would that have been? Like, to do all amateur football and grassroots and everything.
If that is where you're utilising the cloning technology in this world, I'd say football's become too powerful.
Yeah, all right, yeah. I mean, it's getting there. It's getting there, but it's not quite that power yet. All right, I'll give you that. Tijani Babangida, who for some reason I can say his name easier than Pierluigi Collina.
And he's now working as a football agent, so it'd be interesting to know who's he's got on his roster.
Oh, can we... I'm carry on talking, I'm going to Google it.
I'm intrigued that football agent is also a clickable link, but I'll tell you what, I'll cover what we've done as actions and the route we've taken. So, we actually, as far as I'm aware, the only actions we've got were on Babangida's page in terms of rejigging the personal life section to the bottom of the page and also adding in his honour with the Chinese side Shangjun Yatai as he won the second tier competition with them. They were not mentioned, but we managed to go this week from Amizaki. Play choice, not African Cup of Nations themed episode. We went from Amizaki, who played for Zamalek. We were intrigued by Zamalek. We thought, let's have a look. Turns out, great history, but not too many great players. But one of those players was Emmanuel Aminike, who Dave thought he knew. Turns out we didn't. But he won the African Player of the Year in 1994. Why was that? Because he played in the Olympics and the African Cup of Nations. He's got this international pedigree. Played at the 1996 Summer Olympics, where we know Tijani Babangida played. And therefore, he comes on and wins. They both played together. We can see it in the 11 list, and therefore, Babangida is a clickable link. Congratulations.
I've just stumbled on something which is magnificent. Because pre-podcast, Josh, we were talking about Babangida. You sent me a video of it. We had a quick discussion about his video that's on YouTube, which we'll post on Twitter when on release of this, so everyone can check it out. But what did I call him when it started? Babs? Let's go and have a look at Babs. Babs,
yeah.
Tijan Babangida on LinkedIn is the CEO of Babs Integrated Limited Services. That is literally his... Yep, and about him... He is the president of the National Association of Nigerian Professional Footballers. And he has, for 16 years and 1 month, been the CEO of Babs Integrated Limited Services. And I've asked him to connect with me.
I'm about to do the same. Do you know what other one player I've got as a LinkedIn?
I do know this. You've told me. Is it Joachim?
Julian Joachim. Julian Joachim. It's my other football-related LinkedIn connection. Yes. Babs. Don't call it Babs. I don't know, it really downgrades it, the word Babs. Do you not find?
Babs. Well, it's obviously what it must have been his nickname at his clubs in Holland, I imagine.
No, well, unfortunately, Wikipedia needs updating because it says his nickname sometimes as TJ.
Ah, okay. Yeah, okay.
Maybe he didn't like the link with hookers.
Could you update his page to say he is now currently CEO of Babs International Limited Services?
And use his LinkedIn page as a reference.
I'll tell you what, I'll take that action and I'll try it because Wikipedia hate me already because I keep not referencing things. So I'll reference it as a LinkedIn page and see if it comes through. But yeah.
I've just realised we were somewhat harsh on Emmanuel Aminike. We thought he won his African Footballer of the Year award for his last minute goal in the Summer Olympics, which was 1996. That's obviously incorrect. Because there's 2 years beforehand.
Yeah.
But he did win the BBC African Footballer of the Year in 1996, which I imagine would have been linked to the AFCON. But he won the African Footballer of the Year. Before that, he must have had a great showing in the AFCON when they won it in 1994. So more than just a 90th-minute goal. So sorry, Emmanuel.
Yeah, must have been done. But that was good. Yeah, I think the beginning of it, we had to work. Again, once it's the power of Wikipedia. Sometimes you get lucky. You go down a rabbit hole, you click on something, and it just works out for you. I thought Aminike worked in or played in the Premier League. Worked. Well, yeah, he worked. It was his job.
Yeah, I know.
But he didn't. But he didn't do it in the Premier League, so it doesn't matter. But he did play for Barcelona, which is interesting. Anyway, it does bring an end to my rambling and this week's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Feel free to send in your suggestions, Wikipedia pages, starts, finishes, anything you want us to look at would be much appreciated. You can find us on Twitter at WikiWanderers and on Instagram at WikipediaWanderers. But for now, Josh, say goodbye.
Say goodbye.